It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is the phone number if you want to talk Bears football with us. Adam, do you remember the show back in the day on ESPN News called The Hot List? Brian Kelly hosted it for a long time. He would go through the top stories of the day. He would have guests on. And then there is something that ESPN as a company sends out daily on the hour, every hour. It's a news list called The Hot List. The reason I bring this up today is because we have a ton in sports to talk about. And on the hot list that is sent out by ESPN to everyone that works within the company on every hour, right now on the hot list, the top two stories on the hot list are both Chicago stories, because there is so much news today in Chicago sports, it's leading the sports world.
Oh, absolutely. Basically, the Bears told us that they're going to have a new quarterback, and the Bulls told us that they're going to have a new GM and probably coach.
Yeah, and so we will address both of those tonight. If you have thoughts on either one, you want to jump on in, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Let's start first with the Chicago Bears, because you're right. The quarterback competition, I think, is the biggest news of the day based on the fact of what we heard up at Halasol earlier today. Now, the Chicago Bears put on a teleconference with Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, and then later Nick Foles met the media. So, obviously, a teleconference in this time, because of the COVID-19 outbreak and coronavirus, no one could get together. So this was taking place earlier today. It's the first time for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to address the assembled media and to address the fan base after Ryan Pace went out and shopped in free agency, notably signing Robert Quinn, signing Jimmy Graham, and then also trading for Nick Foles, who before today we were all hoping that we would hear one thing and that we would have a full quarterback competition.
I think that, Chris, by them saying this, by the front office, by Ryan Pace, by Matt Nagy specifically, because if you listen to the press conference, Matt Nagy was saying, this is a competition, we like where we are, we want to improve the team. And Ryan Pace was still like, yeah, it's going to be an open competition. She's still got redeeming qualities. I still love her. About Mitchell Trubisky. But to me, there is no scenario, unless health is a thing, unless health is an issue, injuries are an issue, but I'm taking out injuries, there is no scenario to me where Nick Foles loses a quarterback battle to Mitchell Trubisky. The only way that that happens is if there's an injury, or if there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know, where Ryan Pace is like, I don't care what happens, you're playing Trubisky. But I don't think Matt Nagy would be put in that kind of situation. So because of that, I don't think that there's a scenario whatsoever where if you put these two quarterbacks in an equal competition, where Nick Foles would lose to Mitchell Trubisky.
So let's go to earlier today, the teleconference for the Chicago Bears. Ryan Pace starting off with signing his free agents, and obviously the way he started was he knows that everyone's going to have the focus on the trade for Nick Foles in the quarterback competition.
In relation to free agency, we signed a number of guys, you know, understand the focus is on the quarterback position. It's been a focus for us with the addition of Nick Foles. Is exactly what we talked about from the start. We've increased competition at a critical position, and we talked to both players, and the way we view this is it's an open competition. And credit to both those guys for embracing it. We've also talked about this a lot, but it's the factor that I steadily lean on is the collaboration between our coaches and our scouts, the collaboration between Matt and I think that's a strength for us right now more than ever.
So Ryan Pace, to start the teleconference, setting the tone for how this was going to go, an open quarterback competition. To me, that was refreshing to hear from Ryan Pace, because I feel like he's been the one all along that's been the driving force to coddling Mitchell Trubisky as quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And the fact that Ryan Pace came out in his first comments since trading for Nick Foles, and he says that this is an open competition, that was a relief to me, and I think it's a relief to many Bears fans out there as well.
I think it's what everyone wanted to hear. Everyone wanted to hear the answers to why you were paying Nick Foles all this money if there wasn't going to be a competition. I think when you signed, when you traded for Nick Foles, when you brought him in, the reason was because there was going to be a competition. Any of these quarterbacks that you brought in that wasn't Colt McCoy or that wasn't, you know, some lower level quarterback like that was going to be a competition. If you brought in Cam Newton, if you brought in Teddy Bridgewater, and they were going to call it a quote unquote competition, but we all know, we've seen Trubisky. We heard the reports coming out of training camp last year. We know how this is going to go. I've been to the future. I've seen it. I've seen how these two quarterbacks play out in an even competition. Nick Foles is going to win this job. Simple as that.
You see, I don't know if you can automatically say that he's going to win it.
Dude, Nick Foles is going to win this job.
Well, like, I think you're saying that, like, there won't even be a competition. I think there's going to be a back and forth, and I think eventually Nick Foles is going to be the winner because he's a better quarterback. Well, I don't think that that's much of a debate.
This isn't going to be, though, Mitch won Monday, Nick Foles won Tuesday, Nick Foles won Wednesday, Mitch won Thursday.
It certainly could turn into that.
And then let's go through the scores and see who did what.
We're going to hear more from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace in just a second, but first let's go to you at 312-332-3776. Let's go to Mark in Lake Forest. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, fellas. First of all, Adele, I completely agree with you. Foles is going to crush him. I almost feel like this is a bit of a soap opera, man. Like, you know, like Days of Our Lives, there's always plot turns and all this kind of stuff, and they move things around. I think this is moving chairs, deck chairs on a boat. I mean, any great organization starts with a pillar that you build around, you know, whatever that foundation or pillar is. And they blew it a couple years ago when they traded up for Mitch. And now it's like, let's just make things look good. And the controversy that's going to hang over the Trubisky Foles thing, if it's not a controversy, whatever you want to call it, is going to consume them and give them some cover. And that's just what I think. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. The second real quick question on a personal note, if you had to celebrate girlfriend birthday with your wife or girlfriend during this quarantine period, what are your best ideas? I'll hang up and let you guys chat about
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate
the
phone call.
Relationship advice from two married guys here.
Yeah.
So you can go.
Wait,
one
was it
two.
Weird that the first thing that came to mind was bake a cake?
No, because that's, I mean, so one of my two options are you either order from a takeout from a nicer restaurant wherever you are, or you try to recreate something. So my idea would always be, if you have to recreate something, you try to recreate something that you two enjoyed. You recreate the meal that you guys had on your first date. You recreate something, maybe the food you had, you know, in a place that's very memorable to you guys, or you try to get food from a place. Recreate a memory that brought you both joy that you can, like, replicate that kind of joy that you guys experience together, whether it's from a vacation or whether it's from a restaurant or something like that. That to me is because we all got to stay in. And then if you got to do like a movie night or something, like, you know, spend the extra money and get that movie on demand and see, you know, just spend an extra few bucks if you can.
Can I suggest something that might take a little effort? Your
Whoa.
Suggestions didn't really.
How is that not effort?
I mean, that seemed
how is that
lazy.
Not effort? Is that not effort?
It was Mark in Lake Forest,
yeah,
right?
That's all we can do right now, really.
How about this, Mark? Can you find a way to not see your girlfriend or wife for some time during the day and then suggest that you guys have dinner together and you separately get ready for dinner and you actually dress up and then you come together for dinner like you're going on a date?
You can do both, though.
No, I mean,
like,
we're in an apartment, so like you stay in separate rooms for a good majority of the day. And then you get ready and you get all gussied up there, Abdallah.
They're not getting remarried.
Little tuxedo T-shirt that you would wear to go to a fancy dinner. I know how you like to dress.
I don't have a tuxedo T-shirt.
And you would that be a nice way to spend an evening?
I mean, I guess not a lot of people have that option. If you live in a small apartment, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Is one supposed to go?
I mean, if you live in a house, one could stay in the basement, the other can go somewhere else.
I don't understand why you got to quarantine within the quarantine.
Well, I mean, to make the meal special, like you're going on a date.
The meal can be special because it tastes good in the preparation and the thought that went into the meal, not the fact that I haven't seen you for an hour.
Matt Nagy's thoughts on the quarterback competition next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Of news in Chicago sports. You want to talk Bears football with us? We're taking your phone calls at 312-332-3776. So there's an open quarterback competition. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace talked on the teleconference earlier today up at Hallis Hall, giving us the information that that's what is going to take place in this offseason, which to me is very refreshing because now finally Mitch Trubisky will get to the situation where he has to prove it, right? Like, I feel like much of what has been given to him has been given to him just based on the fact that he was the second overall pick in the NFL draft in 2017 and not because he has earned what he has had. He is a quarterback who has performed well at times. I'm not saying he has been the worst quarterback in the world, but when you look at a team that has a defense like the Chicago Bears have, I will speak personally, I am expecting more from this team. The defense is that good. We have the stats to back it up. For 2 years now, this defense is good enough to get you where you want to go. Now, can the quarterback, the head coach, and this offense score enough points to make up the difference so it's not so lopsided? Football is about balance, Abdallah. And when you have zero balance on offense and you can't score points, you're really hanging your defense out to dry each and every week.
Well, the question is Nick Foles and Allen Robinson going to be enough? Because other than that, I don't know how this offense stacks up against the other teams in the NFC. You know, if this team is trying to make a playoff run, which they should be a playoff team, they have a championship caliber defense. They have a quarterback now that should know the system very well. So ultimately, you have to look at this and say, have they done enough in this offseason to be a playoff team? Do they have enough in the room of weapons for Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, whoever it is, to make the playoffs? So we'll see. Is it enough? Are they going to add a wide receiver in the draft? A lot of mock drafts that have come out recently have said that they're going to take a wide receiver in the second round. It's a very deep wide receiver draft. It's the deepest wide receiver draft ever, I've heard. So will they be able to add difference-making playmakers that can get them to the playoffs? And ultimately, I don't know. The defense is stacked. Nick Foles knows the system. Allen Robinson's a great wide receiver. Is that enough? Jimmy Graham is old and hasn't been playing well in the last 2 years. I don't know if they have enough to keep up. Because there's going to be games, Chris. Look, the defense can win them a lot of games. We saw that the last couple of years, right? But if they get into a shootout, is there enough? I don't think there is right now. I don't think that there's enough weapons on offense if they were to get into a shootout.
We'll hear from Matt Nagy in just a moment. But first, Mike in Willow Springs, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. What's going on?
How can we possibly listen or trust one single word that Ryan Pace has to say? Even hearing his voice honestly makes me want to vomit. And I give you a couple examples as we're aware of. One, the Mike Glennon signing and press conference, slobbering how he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and see how that worked out. Then his end-of-the-year press conference this year, where he fired the coaches later that day or the next day, and then slobbered all over how Leonard Floyd was a big part of the future, only to be cut. You can't trust one single word the guy says. He's inherently dishonest.
So, Mike, before I let you go, so you're suggesting that Ryan Pace coming out and saying that there's a true quarterback competition is just for show and that
yes.
Trubisky will just be the quarterback no matter what?
No, I think it's going to be Nick Foles. I think he's full of crap. You can't trust one word the guy says. Period.
I like that. Thank you for the call, Mike. You know what's interesting is I thought Mike was going to go the other way and suggest that Pace is just trying to sandbag us all, right? But instead, it's the opposite. He thinks that he is lying to us to make it appear as if the great Mitchell Trubisky will hang in a quarterback competition this summer or fall, whether or not we have football or not. Well, Trubisky in this competition is there. Pace is trying to sell that hard, even though he knows behind the scenes Mitch is no longer the quarterback.
Well, think about it. If there is a situation where you get a delay in training camps, where you have X number of preseason games that don't happen, if the regular season is delayed, if you can't get these guys in and get them reps, I could see the front office also saying, look, Mitch knows the personnel. He knows the system. He just has to get the system. We're going to go with Mitch because Nick hasn't had enough opportunities to practice and get reps in with this team. And if Trubisky struggles, that's where we'll go to it. Can't you see that happening? I could see that happening too.
You come on. We have all seen it. We are all Bears fans. Man. We have watched Trubisky. There are like two times I can think of in the 41 games that he has started where he has looked cool under pressure at the end of a game, like he knows what's going on. The Denver game, right? But mm-hmm. even though that penalty last year is what really got him to where they needed to be to kick that field goal to win at the end on that drive, if you take away that penalty, there's no way the Bears win that football game. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's one. The wild card game against the Eagles, and then also that game against the Lions where he had that scramble on fourth down mm-hmm. to set the team up. Outside of that, when has Trubisky looked like he's had command of the offense?
Oh, come on. The Redskins game was great.
Cool under pressure.
The Cowboys game was great.
Oh, please.
I can make a hand turkey of the games. That's five of them.
What is that?
That's five games. A hand turkey. You make a hand turkey.
Well, that's just your hand. You're just showing me, you're waving a hand. It's only a turkey if you draw it on a piece of paper.
I just wanted a cool metaphor.
Let's hear from Matt Nagy at the teleconference earlier today. His first comments on the free agents the Bears signed and the quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky.
Number one, what we're trying to do is what's best for the Chicago Bears. Plain and simple. That's what it comes down to. And so, like I was saying, Ryan and I have had great talks with both of them. What's important and what y'all are going to find out in this process is going to be real simple. It's going to be very transparent and very honest. And so what I thought was really neat when we just talked to Mitch, which speaks to who he is you could feel how much of a competitor, and you know it and you see it. He's a competitor now. He's embracing it and excited to get back to work. With that said, part of the conversation that we discussed too was understanding here the big picture. Is I know that Mitch gets a lot of this, but we could have been a lot better coaching schematically, and I could have been a better head coach, and then we all know we can always be better players around him as well. So that's a focus there. But Mitch has. Mitch is really embracing it. He's had an unbelievable personality throughout it. He understands it. All he wants to do is be the best quarterback he can be for the Chicago Bears, and that's what he's going to do as we move on here. Nick, the same thing. I have a history with Nick. I know who he is as a person. He's been great as well. He's a special person, and Ryan and I looked into that, knowing that when this went down. And I think that's very important that we don't lose sight of that as we go through this competition. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. I personally went through it with him in Kansas City. A little different, but I know obviously who he is. It's going to be a process evaluated over time. And it, like Ryan said, it's a collaboration of Ryan, some of the guys on his staff, myself, and then along with Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, John DeFilippo. And those guys all have extensive background with quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. We're not there yet. You guys will have questions, but we'll have a great plan on how to evaluate it. And then ultimately what it really comes down to is winning, scoring points, physical and mental toughness, and then obviously command and leadership with some other things.
So that's Matt Nagy talking about Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, and the trade for Foles bringing him into the mix and the quarterback competition that the Chicago Bears are going to have. So first comments from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy both address that there will be an open competition going forward into this offseason with both quarterbacks. Chris Blankenham, Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. So let me ask you this, Abdallah. When we look at what Ryan Pace has done with this team before the NFL draft here, has he put together a team that is good enough now to make a playoff run, to make the playoffs next season? If you go through the list of moves he has made in free agency, signing Robert Quinn, adding to the defense, an already good defense, but then on the defensive side of the ball, you have to also take a look at Prince Amukamara moving on. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, moving on. Leonard Floyd, even though a disappointment to many, was also a player that knew the system, right? So you are replacing Floyd. You are putting in Robert Quinn. You assume that Quinn will have better production getting to the quarterback than Floyd did, but now you may have to worry about a linebacker in coverage where you didn't really have to worry about that before with Leonard Floyd. So those are the differences on defense. On offense, you trade for Nick Foles. He's your new quarterback. You have Jimmy Graham. You bring in these different players on the offensive side. Has Ryan Pace done enough to get this team to the playoffs?
I will tell you, coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Season for the Chicago Bears. Did Ryan Pace do enough in free agency and with the trade of Nick Foles to improve this team to the point where they can make a playoff run? Abdallah, I want you to give me your answer in just a second, but first, Dave in Algonquin joins us on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Always love when you're together. I hope someday you can get your own time slot and be official and stuff like that. But also a quick shout out to all the doctors and healthcare workers and nurses out there. They're the true heroes during these tough times. But my thought process is I don't think either Trubisky or Foles are a good option. If you look at Foles' record, he's been around a while, constantly injured, always been a backup. He got the starting job with the Eagles because the eventual MVP got injured. So it's the best we got right now, but I don't like either option. And Adam, I think injuries are going to come into play this year because Nick Foles has shown, and so has Trubisky, that they can't stay healthy. And it's probably going to be, you know, a back and forth on who's healthy.
That's a good call. Thank you, Dave.
No, I agree with Dave that the injuries are going to become a factor. But we've talked about this before, Chris. If Nick Foles ends up winning the job, isn't the best backup in the NFL Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, it probably is.
Because he knows the system. He's not going to be expected to come in unless it's an emergency situation.
Who was the best backup last year? Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, probably.
He has his own team now.
Exactly.
So who's the next guy up? Trubisky's better than Blake Bortles, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, I mean, chances are Trubisky is the best backup. Before we get back to the Bears' thoughts, two other things from Dave. Yes, shout out to the healthcare workers. Absolutely. And two, you and I are not official. We've been at this for quite some time. We're not official yet.
Well, we're not Facebook official. Do we have to be Facebook official for us to be official?
That's always an interesting conversation when you're dating a girl, and then the first time you have to have the conversation of, "Hey, are we? Is this like? Do we have to be? Is this? You're not talking to? Are you seeing other people? We're official type of thing.
I don't do Facebook, shorty. Sorry.
Dave, isn't that an awkward conversation you have to have the first time?
Dave!
Yeah, I'm here.
Isn't that an awkward conversation you have to have the first time?
Oh, absolutely. And guys, don't take offense. So what I meant was
No,
we're not taking offense. We're making a silly bit of it.
Yeah, we're making a joke out of it.
Yeah, no, that's good. You guys are great. I love it.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
No, and to answer his question, yeah, for sure. I think that injuries are going to be a factor. Now, can Nick Foles not fall on his collarbone? That'd be nice. You know, I believe that was kind of a freak injury. It's not like he's got bird bones. So I think he'll be all right.
What?
He doesn't have bird bones. Bones are hollow.
Yes.
They're easily broken.
I'm aware.
We don't have bird bones. We have human bones. And, you know, so hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But I don't think in the preseason that injury is going to be a factor. Like a fluke injury would be something, you know, would be something of concern. But I don't think that that's going to happen. You can't plan for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the last 3 years that Nick Foles was in Matt Nagy's system with Kansas City and the Eagles, he played 15 games as a starter. He threw 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 18 sacks, 5 fumbles. He had 4 game-winning drives. But as a starter, he was 7-2 for the Eagles and the Chiefs in those 3 years. Trubisky, in the 15 games played last year, had 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 38 sacks, 5 fumbles, 3 game-winning drives. So when you look at the numbers, too, the point that Dave was just making is that I don't think there is much of an upgrade, but there is an upgrade, right, between the two quarterbacks. So, Abdallah, let me ask you the question. Go through what this Bears team has to offer, and is this team better now than what they were before free agency began? Has Ryan Pace gotten this team to the point where they can make a playoff run?
Well, I think you got to look at the teams that made the playoffs last year and that are probably going to make the playoffs again this year. You know, the 49ers were in the Super Bowl. Are they going to make the playoffs again this year? Most likely. I would say that they are going to only improve. Jimmy Garoppolo in another year in the system is only going to improve. And if not, they've got a strong enough running game to be able to, and a strong enough defense to make another run to Super Bowl. You look at the Packers. I'm never going to count out Aaron Rodgers until he's out of the league. I think another year with Matt LaFleur is going to be that much better. You think, look at the Packers. They're probably going to make it again. Drew Brees didn't come back to the Saints to not make the playoffs. You know, the Saints are going to be right there once again. The Seahawks with Russell Wilson, of course they're going to be there again. Then you get, then it gets a little dicey when you look at the Vikings and the Eagles. Can the Eagles try to make another playoff run? Can the Vikings make another playoff run? And there's always teams, Chris, that don't make the playoffs from the year before that make the playoffs. There are teams that go from worst to first. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater, Christian McCaffrey, with Matt Rhule coming in, and with Joe Brady coming in as the offensive coordinator. They're going to be a sexy playoff team. The Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray, they're going to be a sexy pick for the playoff team. The Dallas Cowboys, are they going to make the playoffs? So you've got all those teams in there. How many of those teams that I mentioned are worse than the Bears? Not many. They may have worse defenses, but I'm talking about the all-around team. How many of those teams out of the teams that I mentioned are, we used to do an old bit back in the day, even better, worse. How many of those teams are even or worse than the Bears? Maybe the Vikings, maybe the Eagles, maybe the Cardinals, maybe the Panthers. So you're going to be battling with those four teams, maybe the Cowboys, to try to get in. Those other teams that I mentioned, the 49ers, the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, I think they're all a step above the Bears. You've got the Rams in there too that are going to be competing for a playoff spot. The Buccaneers with Tom Brady, are they going to be competing for a playoff spot? They expect to be completing. The NFC is stacked this year. Absolutely stacked. And I don't know if the Bears have enough that if they get into a shootout with any of these teams, they can win with defense. But I don't know if they're in that upper half of teams or if they're in those teams that we're going to be seeing the in the hunt graphic for most of the second half of the season.
Yeah, a lot of what you laid out there, I heard a lot of even, right? Like a lot of teams that are right about the same ballpark where the Bears are at. So the thing that I would look at is you mentioned a shootout a couple times. I only see maybe one or two shootouts on the schedule from last year where the results were not in favor of the Chicago Bears. Week 7 against the Saints won 36-25. Outside of that, most of these games were a one-possession game. You lose to Green Bay 10-3, the Raiders 24-21. They win that game. You lose to the Chargers by 1 point, 17-16. The Eagles beat the Bears 22-14, and in the first half of that game, Bears offense got, what, 9 total yards? And it still was only an 8-point game at the end. The Chargers game in Los Angeles, the Bears lost by 10, but it was 17 points scored by the home team, the Rams. And then you get to the end of the schedule. The Green Bay Packers put up 21 points in week 15. The Bears scored 13. Kansas City scored 26 to the Bears 3. But it's not like the Bears were giving up 40-plus points where they would have to score in a shootout.
See, no, this defense isn't going to let them give up 40 points.
The Saints game losing 36-25, I would probably be willing to say that same game is not being won this year. See what I'm saying? But many of these games, the swing games I just noted, is now with a quarterback that knows what he's doing, in some of these spots, you might be able to get a victory where you're only losing these games by one touchdown, by 3 points. You know, it's not as dramatic as saying that this team needs to score 27 a game. It'd be nice. It'd help the defense out a heck of a lot if you could do so. But to me, what I'm seeing is that there's a sweet spot. It's about 25 points. Oh. If you could get to about 24-25 points, you're winning the majority of these games. Now, also, I always think of this when people go on that rant. When I hear the conversation that we just gave for the last 4 minutes about scores that could have gone in the favor of the team that you're talking about, I always say to myself when I'm listening in the car, I always say to myself, yeah, but what about the games you won that you shouldn't have? Right? Like, I'm sure there are games on the schedule. If we go through it, it's like when the Bears beat the Vikings 16-6. Like, chances are you're not winning many games 16-6 in the National Football League from week 4 of last season. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there are, I'm sure, a few games that we could point to on the schedule. Like that Giants game where they won 19-14 last year in week 12, where it's like the Bears kind of won that at the end.
You mentioned the Broncos game.
The Broncos game. Yeah, you're right. Like, there are many on the schedule that could go either way. I think what this tells me is that the 8-8 that we got at the end of the season was pretty damn accurate. Right? Like, that was pretty good to what this team is.
So how many
wins? They're an 8-8 football team.
How many wins is Nick Foles worth? Well, are they a 10-6 team now? Are they 11-5 team now?
That's a good question. If you kind of calculate how that fits in, the addition to Robert Quinn, the subtraction of Prince Amukamara, which I think is huge, mm-hmm. and we'll see what they do in the draft to address the cornerback position. You know, there's a lot of holes on the offensive line. Is that going to be a unit that's going to step up? It's a good question. We'll take your phone calls on that at 312-332-3776. The Bears were 8-8 last season. Where do you kind of project them to be next season? We don't know the schedule yet, but we will soon. And how do you see this team kind of shaping up for next season? Take your calls next.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
All right, so the Bears were 8-8 last year. With the moves Ryan Pace has made to this point in the offseason, the trade for Nick Foles, the signings and free agency, can this team make the playoffs from what you've seen from Ryan Pace to this point? I'm looking at the Bears' future opponents for this season, and I get it. To go win-loss throughout the future opponents, we don't even have the schedule.
We don't know when
the bye week is. Any of this stuff.
We don't
stuff.
Know when the season's going to start.
Yeah, let's be real about that.
Come on.
But to be honest, if you look at the home opponents, man, is that going to be a tough go at Soldier Field when they eventually play football.
Bear weather.
Well, listen. Bear weather. Listen to the opponents.
Bear weather.
You tell me the team that the Bears are just 100% automatically better than.
Even better. Worse.
Listen, the way I look at the division is this. I'm hoping the Bears could go 3-3 in the division.
Yeah, I think that's easy to say. I always give them a split with the Lions, a split with the Vikings, and then I always give 2 wins to the Packers.
Okay, so you're just going to give 2 wins to the Packers?
I usually do.
Okay. I'm saying 3-3 in the division, I think, is a modest way to approach this. All right. The Saints. Are the Bears going to be better than the Saints this year?
No.
Okay. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yes.
You hope?
I hope. I think so.
I asked you to give me 100% guarantee that this team is better than the team we're talking about.
I think they're better than
100% better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even though the Buccaneers had a top 10 defense, they now have a quarterback that knows what he's doing.
Fine, even.
Okay. Houston Texans.
No.
Indianapolis Colts.
What time is the game?
Late.
No.
And the New York Giants.
Yes,
they're better than the Giants, right? Okay,
yeah.
If you go to the away opponents, we already talked about the teams in the division. I think they're better than the Atlanta Falcons. Would you agree with that? 100% they're better than the Falcons?
On the road?
Don't do this with the Falcons. Every year, fantasy football players, look at all these weapons, and then every year they disappoint.
No,
they're
but the Falcons are the biggest joke in football. The Falcons are the team that when you bet against them, they win. So you're going to take the Bears in that game. The Bears are going to be like +2.5 in that game. And you're going to take the Bears, and the Eagles are going to win by 10. That's what's going to happen.
So you're not going to say yes that they're automatically better than the Falcons?
Not on the road.
Carolina Panthers. They're better than the Panthers. Come on.
Yes, they're better than the Panthers.
Jacksonville. They're better than Jacksonville.
They're better than Jacksonville.
Tennessee Titans.
Yes, they're better than... Ooh, wait.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Whoa. Skrr. You were like running down the hall with that one and stopped.
No, they're not better than the Titans. The Titans were... I don't know. I don't know if the Titans can keep this up. I don't know if the Titans can replicate their success from last year.
At best, they're even.
Okay.
Right?
I'll give you that.
Like, I don't know. I don't agree. I don't think Tennessee's going to be one of the better teams in football next year.
No.
But there is a chance that they could be better than the Chicago Bears. L.A. Rams.
Even?
Even. Okay. So what did we find out here by doing that exercise? There are like three teams on the schedule where we know going into the season the Bears are going to be the better team. That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Because I was like sitting here trying to write out what
they
I think the record
schedule.
Could be. And like when I look up after doing that exercise and I get 7 for the win column.
Yes.
Right? Like that's not good.
Yes.
Like this team's going, and so the whole point of all this, right, is that the offense is going to have to improve on the fact of last year on offense, they were 31st in yards per play, 28th in first downs per game. Completion percentage, they were middle of the pack, 15th in the NFL, but yards per pass attempt were 32nd, the absolute worst in the NFL, and points per game, 30th. They're going to have to improve so much to improve this team from getting from that 8-8 to be a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule, and I don't know, like we've been talking about, I don't know if they've added enough. They've added what they can, and you hope that, you know, Akeem Hicks stays healthy the entire year. You hope that Danny Trevathan stays healthy the entire year. You hope that Nick Foles wins the job and stays healthy all year. But I don't know if it's enough to get by some of these teams that are already established as being good, because teams would have to fall. Teams are going to have to fall. And it's the NFL, so it happens every single year. But I don't know if enough teams can do that for the Bears to get it. Now, there is, there's that extra playoff team this year. It might benefit the Bears. They would have been in the hunt longer last year. The Rams would have made it, but the Bears would have been in the hunt longer last year.
Is that your only hope?
Right now, yeah. Well, because the team's not bad enough to get a good draft pick next year and draft a quarterback. They're at worst a 7-loss team or 7-win team. At worst, this team is a 7-win team, right? So you have to factor in that this is one of these situations where the Bears are truly a 500 team, and then maybe a couple other games go their way and they end up winning 11 games, right? Like they are on paper a 500 team, and then you hope that the NFL happens, and that the NFL, when it truly is the NFL, you win some games you're supposed to, you lose some games you're not supposed to, and you win some games you're not supposed to as well, right? So because of that, they could be an 11-win team. Because of that, they could also be a 6-win team. Like, it's not out of the question based on the schedule, the exact schedule, but their opponents that they're going to face this year.
When you look at Ryan Pace heading to the draft and what the Bears have in draft picks, the 2 second-round picks, the 5th-rounder, 2 6th-round picks, and 2 7s, what I see is that you need 2 guys in that second round who start from day one. And they're going to be storylines throughout camp because they've improved. They've surprised everyone. They've improved throughout camp, and they are ready to start opening day to give a little pop, a little extra pop to this team. Because, right, Ryan Pace has put himself in this spot because he's given up so much draft currency in previous years that now he can't miss, because he has missed on the quarterback. He has missed on Leonard Floyd. He has missed on other spots, Adam Shaheen, where he is now spending in free agency to make up for the mistakes. Therefore, this draft is so important for Ryan Pace, he can't afford to miss anymore. And those 2 guys that he selects in the second round, they're going to have to start, whether it be a cornerback who then can play opposite Kyle Fuller, whether it's a guard or a tackle on the offensive line, someone who can step in immediately, which we know is not easy to do. Like, this is not an easy ask of a general manager who hasn't drafted well to this point to begin with.
I would like to see them go corner and wide receiver. I know a lot of people said there are a lot of other needs. I think that the money that they gave Jimmy Graham means they're not going to go with tight end. I would like to see them go wide receiver. I know the wide receiver draft is deep, but the Bears don't have picks to go deep. They don't have a 3rd-round pick. They don't have a 4th-round pick. Like, they're missing out on almost a full day of picks because they don't have any. Now, can Ryan Pace trade something and get some more picks? Sure. But ultimately, as deep as this wide receiver class is, get one early so you get a really good one, right? Get a good wide receiver. Get a good complement to Allen Robinson that's going to work out. And then get a corner that you can count on every single down.
See, and the problem with that is Pace has spent draft picks on wide receivers. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to get on the field. They haven't been able to produce.
Yeah.
You know, so like he has shown us, if you're going based on his track record, he's drafted wide receivers in the past. They just haven't played. So coming up next, we are going to talk a huge day in Chicago sports because not only are the Bears in the news and this quarterback competition between Foles and Trubisky is such a big deal nationally, but also the Chicago Bulls are in the news. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting today that the Bulls are beginning their search for a top executive who will have full authority of basketball operations. And there is a timeline set to this, which is very encouraging if you're a Bulls fan. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.